they working there in your recollection?
Some of them were, yes. Yes, because the mines closed down in 1911. Of course, it was very prosperous up to then. It came as a great shock, you know, when it closed down. It was sudden, very sudden.
Was it?
Very sudden. And the funny thing, all those who were left, miners' wives and that, they never grumbled. They just stuck into things. Some of the men went, they'd been in Africa, America, Australia, New Zealand. And their wives, a lot of them, went into Douglas and took over boarding houses and set in. Because there wasn't any pension going in those days.
No relief, no family.
There was a poor relief from the parishioners. And well, I know one old lady at Low Foxtrot, and she was getting a half a crown a week. Well, your bag of coal in those days was 1 and 3. So she'd only the other left for food. And they're talking and worrying now. If they don't get £20 a week, you're not in it. Oh, Joe.
But you'd remember the mines.
Oh, yes, I can remember them. And payday was the last Friday in the month. And we'd see all the miners collecting over by the clock, because there was an institute there. It was the Miners' Institute. It's been taken down now because it was a danger, and there's like a little garden being made by the clock. And you'd see all the miners collected there on that side of the road, because the present church room was the old office belonging to the mine, and Mr. George Whitaker was their clerk. His father before him had been a clerk of the mine, as far as I understand. But I remember Mr. George Whitaker. I taught his children at school.
Did you? Mm.
Leslie and Kathleen.
Are they still in Foxton?
No, none of them.
There aren't many Whitakers in there.
No. Leslie was it. He worked on the engine that was skipping the men to and from underground. I can remember them going down in the cages underground. Oh, yes.
And what was his job exactly?
He was the engine driver, whatever it would be. He worked the engine, those big brass affairs that went up and down. Anybody wanted a tooth extracted. Well, my grandfather came round one day and said, "What is there going on here?" And there was a chap then, he'd had an awful toothache, and he tied a piece of string to his tooth and to one of those handle business.
Well, that
nearly took
job.
The head of the fella. Oh, yes. And I can remember when the trucks of coal used to come up from Ramsey. You see, there was a direct line from Ramsey to Foxtrot. All the lead, truckloads of lead and that, went through to Ramsey. Then the truckloads of coal came back from Ramsey, because you know those lines along the quayside, those were, they just shunted out of them.
Right to them.
And I can remember the huge thing, the men open those huge doors of the boilers underneath, great big fires and long-handled shovels at them, stoking up.
All came by train.
Yes, all by train. And the Reverend Cringle, he's in Ramsey now. Bill Cringle. He told us once that he said, "Do you know, I've got some deeds up there at the house when he was vicar here at Foxtrot. I have some deeds there," he said, "and they're shares in the old Northern Railway from Ramsey to Foxtrot." We used to love going to Ramsey on the picnics. He only went down here to the railway station. Of course, we had a proper station master in those days, Willie Quirk from St. John's. And he had a ticket office boy as well.
You're quite busy then.
Oh, it was. And we Sunday school picnics. One year we'd go all on the train to Ramsey. We thought it was, and even the fair, Tinwell Fairy, we thought was marvellous. with an engine in the front and an engine at the back. So it was really wonderful.
How many children would there be?
Oh, well, in the Village Methodist Sunday School, that was Wesleyan up here, there was 100 easily. And then there was the church. And then at Lower Foxley, two chapels down there, Primitive and Wesleyan. Oh, yeah. And the alternate years would be going on bogies to Silverdale and Russian Abbey.
A lot of horse drawn?
Yes, farmers' bogies.
Not the carts?
No, the proper bogey. Well, you know, the long.
Not a buggy, but a proper bogey.
Yeah.
Yes, that'd be rather dangerous.
But there wasn't the traffic on the road in those days. It was only when you go downhill you got jogged. They'd have great big farm horses in, and he'd be giving you some awful bumps.
Which farms would provide those?
Well, we've had them from Kinsloe, Kermode's, and we've had them from Kennex. They farmed at the Ballymore at Low Foxton. And Barrow. Kelly, Wish Kelly at Barrow.
Would there be several who had done?
And they were supplied free.
Provide them in the 1 year because it would take quite a few.
Yes, well, it would mean it means taking the horse from its work on the farm and a man with it.
What time of year was that?
It's usually in summertime, Silverdale, and you'd get your notice from these people saying they weren't catering for picnics during the months of July and August. So if you didn't go in June, you went the very first week in September.
Latish.
It was latish, but there'd been some fine days. The days were short.
Still long enough, though.
Oh, yes.
And what was Silverdale like in those days?
Oh, it was lovely. Homemade food. Mrs. Quine, the proprietor's wife, she was a very good confectioner. Everything was homemade, even to the jams.
Mm.
They were all homemade.
Amazing, isn't it?
It was. Oh, it was a treat.
That should be worth going for.
It was. Lovely food.
And where did you go in Ramsey when you went there?
Well, they engaged a hall. There was a baker there in the main street, in Ratcliffe. He belonged, his people lived up here. He was a confectioner and baker, and he catered for us, but he always engaged a hall belonging to somebody in Ramsey. And we had the long tables, you know, in those days.
And what would the children do after that? Because there wouldn't be any facilities there for them to play around in Ramsey, would there?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Go to the shore?
No, they wouldn't. There was the park.
Yes, of course.
There was the park. But I...
Were these the Methodist
schools? Yes. But we always liked going into Ramsey on the train. It was a lovely run.
Oh yes, it is around there.
Yes.
It's around the coast.
And they only just went down in the carriages to St John's, and then they hooked us onto the main Ramsey train that came in from Douglas. And when we were coming home, we went into our own coaches at Ramsey Station. We were on a siding, and then we were connected up with the main train.
Simple enough.
Oh, it was.
It must have been rather isolated out here before there was any train.
I can't remember when there wasn't a train. No, we used to have four trains up in a day. The station master was Willie Quirk. He was a uniformed man. He lived at St John's in Pretoria Terrace. Came up with the first train every morning, came up a little after 8-ish. And then the chemist, Mr Lambert, he had the little cottage at the village corner, and he had a branch chemist shop there from Peel. He came up on that train in the morning, and then Mr. Looney's son, Willie Looney, he came up on that train in the morning because they had a branch shop at the village corner where the present butcher shop is, Bridge House. buckets of whitewash would sort the thing out.
It's got a date stone on.
Yes. A little black. That JC is John Klukas. He belonged to the Klukases that really originally owned Kin's Food.
Did he?
Mm.
And in 1854?
Yes, he built it. This Klukas, John Klukas. And his daughter married Mr. William Henry Shimon, the butcher. He was a brother to Mr. Bertie Shimon at St. John's. He was the village butcher. He used a lovely pony and trap. He used to go out selling his meat all round St. Mark's. And he had the slaughterhouse up at the back of his own place there. What used to worry me when I'd hear the little pigs squealing. Everything. Bread was made locally. There was a cooperative. We had a proper cooperative stores at the top end of the village. And there's a proper bakehouse and apprentices as well. And apprentices in the grocery business too. They baked their own bread. And they sent out, they delivered bread all around the country. Mind you, coming up to Lough Foxtel, they had bread deliveries from Peel, Fred Clegg's. Those Cleggs, the bakers.
Well, there'd be a large community here.
Oh, there was, yes. I know at the village chapel you couldn't get a... the pews were let off in sittings, as they called them. You couldn't get a sitting, never mind a pew.
What do you mean by a sitting? Just one seat?
Yes. Oh. Oh, it was a flourishing place.
Is that a big chapel?
It is fairly big. Mm. They've had their centenary up here, but there aren't the people going now to keep it up.
When did they have that?
Oh, 4 or 5 years ago. It's on the outside when it was built and erected when it was enlarged. It was only a small chapel to begin with, and then they enlarged it, added more to it. It was ex-Westmead.
So there was one of each?
At Lough Foxtel, primitive. The little
there's
primitive.
No, there's no primitive chapel?
No, it was only church and chapel here in the village.
There's a local mission.
Oh, at Lough Foxtel. Yes, there was a mission hall. It belonged to the church. They held their bands of hope down there.
At Lough Foxtel?
Yes. Just below the Methodist chapel there on the hill. I think somebody has it as a workshop now. There was an old lady had a private school there for a while. Oh, years and years ago. Miss Woodend, I think her name was. They sent kiddies before they came up here to the proper school. Called the mission room at Lower Foxtrail.
And it's a workshop.
Now, I think Jack Ogden has it. He works for Partington's.
There seems to be an amazing number of chapels in Foxtrail.
Yes, well, there was such a crowd of people around him. And in those days, it was always you went to church or you went to chapel and Sunday school.
Would there be more Methodists than there were
Yes, I think so.
A lot of the miners would be there.
Oh, they were mostly, because we had quite a lot of Welsh miners who came here, and well, the Kittos and the Nicholses, you know, that Harry Nichols, well, they were all from Cornwall. And then the quarry, the slate quarry up in the slate quarry up at Barul, they used to get them from Wales. Workmen used to come from Wales, lovely singers.
Can you remember that?
I can just dimly remember them.
And they'd be attending the chapel?
Yes, mostly. Some of them did go to church, because some of them had the joke that if you went and sang in the church, some of the boys who worked on the washing floor, you go get on down underground, you go and sing in the church. lovely singers. Captain William Henry's sisters and brothers, the older generation, they were beautiful singers. They could make a choir on their own.
And did the men want to go underground?
Well, there was more money then. I can remember the wash.
They actually got more underground than they did if they weren't upstairs.
Yes, and when they went underground, a young chap would go with an older a miner, and he would sort of train him how to go about the business. I can remember seeing them washing the lead down on the washing floors.
Yeah.
Yes, big boots going round and round and water spraying on it. And long-handled shovels filling the wheelbarrows. There was one old boy. He was an awful boss. They used to leave school early in those days, and he'd make those lads go back and fill those barrels till they were nearly dripping over the sides, and they were heavy to push with lead in them. He was a warrior.
They'd be quite small boys.
Young boys, yes. Well, the chap, he's very, very deaf. I'd have asked him to come this afternoon, Mr. Cubb and Mr. Cubb. Billy Cowan, he's Ada's father, he lives up where they have the petrol pumps there. He's terribly deaf, but he worked underground.
Yes.
And he went to America. He can tell you all about in the camps where they were in America. Where mostly these miners went to, lots of them went to Michigan. Cobalt.
Is that man about between 70?
He's over 80.
Is he over 80?
Yes,
he's he must be very young then.
I don't know. He lived at Low Foxdale, Billy. He used to, when he was on the washing floor, a young lad, the people who lived here were Leans, Captain Leans, across here at the Brookfield House. They were Welsh. And Billy, who was like a little butler, he was sent to do the work, washing the floors and all that for them. And Miss Lean went into one of the drawing room one day, and she said, and there was Billy in the easy chair, fast asleep. So I didn't trouble him. She said, I left him.
They got him to work in the house?
Yes. Oh, yes.
He was a mining captain.
They were. Even, you know, in those days there were dry ash pits. Well, lots of the miners were getting sent to empty the ash pits. And the carts that worked for the mining people, they took the stuff away and put it on their fields and because there was one chap and they reckoned he always got that job, poor old. I think it was Quill, because he couldn't smell very well.
Well, I suppose they didn't mind in those days.
No.
They wouldn't do it today, would they?
Oh, they wouldn't. And the races of water at the tops of those fields there, they had to clean those out certain times every year, because otherwise I'd seen them when they overflowed and flooded all down into the houses in the village.
Ran along the top?
Yes, it came down in wooden lander boxes to the mines, supplying water for the machinery.
It must have been a fearful job to keep it all in the air.
They had their own workmen on the premises, the joiners, and they had a smithy. Changing houses.
Can you remember any of the men individually who worked, you know, the blacksmith or any of the
Oh guys? Yes, the Corus. Mr. John Caesar Corus was one of the joiners, and Tom Johnson at the Erie, from the Erie, he was a joiner in the joiner shop. And Arthur's father, you know, the laundry boy. His father was, well, he was in the smithy too. He did a lot of that kind of work.
Who was the chief blacksmith?
Shimon, old Jimmy Shimon from the Erie.
You think they'd have more use for blacksmiths than they would for joiners?
Yes, but still, I don't know. Well, yes, you would think so. But still, a lot of the shearling, the where the big wheels were going around and all that, they were bounded with wooden framework.
There used to be a lot of maintenance of wooden parts of one sort or another.
Yes, and even underground, you see, for the roofing and that. Because I can remember when we were youngsters, we used to go down after school, because when we came home from school, in those days you had to change your shoes, put an old pair on, change your pinafore, your posh pinafore came off and was folded and put under a cushion. And then we'd get an apron, an apron, and we used to go down into the down to the miners, where the men peeled the bark off the logs, and we were allowed to take that bark home for the fires at night. Get some gorgeous fires at night with that bark, because it was handy. You see, you laid them on the apron, and you tied the apron from corner to corner. You could carry down your arm.
And these were logs they made the pit crops from.
Yes.
Did they make the pit crops?
No, they had to be seasoned. That they had been
ready made.
Yeah. Well, they were cut ready. Yes, at certain lengths. They were cement lengths, like pits, and they were put down into there. I don't know if there was water in them. I don't know whether there was anything else. And they were left there to season before they were taken underground, after the bark was peeled off them.
That's
and they used to peel the bark off with a double-handed knife sort of thing, one at each end.
Would take the preservative better then?
Yes, I think so.
They must have put something like that.
I think there must have been something in the water. Because we were youngsters, we didn't know. Yes, I'm 74 now. So those were the days when we were youngsters. We lived with my grandma.
Did you?
In the village. My grandma, she used to sew. She came from Sanson. Her name was Brideson. And she attended a school that was kept by a retired army officer. Widow, and they were taught plain sewing, so that came in very handy for her when my grandfather died, because he had a stroke and he was about 6 years with this stroke, the strain of working on the engine. It used to amuse me when we'd be down there, if they wanted a skip to come up, there was at the top there was a sort of a thing, and this chopper thing would hit it, like an iron thing would hit it, and it would clong when they wanted to come up or when they were bringing
the signal,
bringing the dirt up. We used to watch them with these big iron cages, bringing the soil and stuff up, and it went into little iron trucks, and they were wheeled out across to tip down over to make the big mounds we used to have. They've taken them down at the village there now too.
The refuse
mounds.
And have you seen the men going up and down?
Yes, they used to stand up in these cages.
What do they look like, the cages?
Bars, iron bars, and they stood up in them, and they wore a certain type of hat. The men, and the candle was in the front, as in clay. We used to pinch the clay to make marbles. And then they were dressed in underground outfits, mostly Manx war. admire the herringbone stitches. It was all herringbone, that flannel. And then they had the changing houses with huge boilers in inside for drying their clothes. And when they came up from underground, they used to run along to these changing houses and take off their underground wear and change into their own, which was hanging up inside.
Well, was it a dark flannel or what colour?
No, just ordinary flannel. Just the ordinary creamy shade. It had to be Moore's Mill. It had to be Manx flannel.
On the jacket part,
I think it was. Yes, a grey calico was used a tremendous lot. And a grey calico was used for binding around the waist of the trousers, the underground pants.
And you say your grandma used to make
She used to make sew. That was her living. There was nothing else.
I suppose it'd be
provide
a lot of work.
Oh, it did, yes. And
did
then
make their own.
No, not a lot of them, no. My mother was a dressmaker too. She'd served her apprenticeship with the Cleggs in Douglas. Clegg, the... What was his name? Henry Cleggs.
Yes.
And of course she did dressmaking as well. But it used to amuse us. And Grandma, when she made the shirts for the miners, they're ordinary. A great tweedy type of shirt, flannel shirt, and everyday wear. And they always had a pocket on, and it was feather stitched around the pocket. And those shirts were mostly, not fully lined, but practically fully lined with grey calico.
Cumbersome,
yes, you'd think so. They were heavy, so.
And
not
they wore
like
those as well underground?
No, those were their ordinary everyday.
Just the men who went underground who wore this man's flannel?
Yes, yes. Not the boys on the washing floors.
No. I think it would get very hot.
Well, you would. But
you'd have to take it
cold
off.
Down underground, you see. And damp, very damp. Because I can remember at the top mines there, at the top end of the village, we used to, well, we say, why is it called a compressor? Me query and all these things, and it was for they were putting compressed air down, and then the steam was coming up and taking the water, and there were huge ropes they had around the big drum for the man that worked that engine. He worked the drum, and the rope went along under the ground to the shaft top fastened to the skip, and they were steel ropes. Monstrous things they were.
Yes, a lot of it's been forgotten.
Oh,
it?
Yes. But if.
Never heard anybody speak of the sort of dress they wore before.
Oh, no.
Well,
candles, they were the real wax candles they wore in their hats in the front, fastened with this clay.
Where would they get the clay here?
Well, they could get clay. They could get clay from underground, I think.
Yes, they get it locally.
Locally, yes.
I know they did in
Rotten. Yes, yes. Because we used to go to this clay pit to make our marbles. And then when they got hard and dry, well, they weren't much use.
Crackers?
Yes, they did.
You certainly took it all in.
Oh, well, we did, because we were in. When we were little, we had to pick up all the pins off the floor, any needles that were dropped, when Mother and Grandpa were dressmaking.
A lot would go on the floor.
They did when they were pulling things and taking